Bible reported. Let me read it to you. Deuteronomy 1, 1 through 5. These are the words that Moses spoke to all of Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness. Now let me set the scene. The Israelites have been wandering 40 years due to disobedience the first time they came to this point of crossing into the promised land. They didn't believe God. And so God said, okay, you guys can just wander for 40 years. And they did. But now a new generation has come up. They have faith. They're going to take the promised land that God has promised to them. And they're on the shores of the Jordan River across from the promised land. Okay? They were in the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel and all these other places. Okay? It's an 11-day journey from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by way of Mount Seir. In the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first of the month, this is what Moses told the Israelites. He told them everything the Lord had commanded to say to them. So he's going back through all the laws and everything God has given to them, okay? And this was after he had defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who lived in Amorath, across the Jordan in the land of Moab. Now, here's the entire nation of Israel sitting just outside of the land God had promised to them, beginning all the way back to Abraham. He made a covenant with Abraham. For about a month, Moses is telling them, he spends time telling them, what all is in the book of Deuteronomy, that if you were to take the time to read, okay? In a nutshell, this is what Moses is saying to the Israelites. We have been in the desert now, in the wilderness, for 40 years. This is all that God has done for us, even during those 40 years, okay? And he reiterates all of the miracles and all the victories and everything God has done, all the incredible things God has done for them. Then he begins to renew with the Israelites the covenants and laws that God had given to them. In other words, he's saying, this is what has happened in the past. This is what God wanted from us then. And what he is attempting to do is to get them to remember all the things that God has done for them. And to remember those things that he had done, something better, something greater, something just ahead. All of those things in the past that God had done, they were good. But you have to remember, they were still wandering, right? Because of some of their decisions and some of their actions. You see, I believe Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, in that month that he was speaking with them and helping them to remember, he was preparing them for what God had in store for them. I believe Moses was giving them a State of the Nation address, all right? I'm sure many of you, at some point or another, one year or another, have watched our president, whoever he may be at that time, give a State of the Union address. And in that address, he tells the United States, the nation, our nation, what's happened in the past year, both the good and the bad. And then he lays out the things that he believes and the goals that he has for the future and what the future holds in store for our nation. And again, this is what I think when I read what Moses is doing here. He was telling them of their past, all right? Now, let me ask you for just a moment. And I haven't done this in a long, long time, especially on a Sunday morning. Do you remember your past? Do you remember, maybe especially the year 2018, to remember what God has done for you? Would there be anyone with just one word to say, this is what God did for me in 2018? Grace. Amen to that. Anyone else? Mercy. Anyone else? There you go. Come on. What else? Amen. 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 This was a time he also asked them to renew their vows. We'll talk about that in a few moments. I could see him speaking to the Israelites and pointing across the river and saying, this is where we belong. This is where God wants us to live. Not right here, but over there. And this morning, I want to share with you and give you the state of our church, Five Forks Baptist Church address here. What has happened to our church, where we are right now in God's sight, and look forward to this year and the years ahead. In a nutshell, let me give you some figures, okay? This is sort of the essentials of what's occurred this past year. In the year 2018, 34 people joined our church, 6 were baptized. 20 were saved in Vacation Bible School, but we had so many from the community come to Vacation Bible School that these kids and their families were scattered out in other churches, but they were saved here. At summer camp of the youth and all, some have made decisions as well. The budget that we set for this past year was $808,628. We gave $837,563. We had an overage of $28,935. But we're fiscally responsible here, so we only spent of the budget $752,426, which left us with a positive cash flow of $85,646. Give God the glory. In the year 2018, in the area of missions, God opened the door for us to begin a ministry with a partnership with Many Hands for Haiti. In the nation of Haiti, 19 of our church family went on this initial group, this mission trip. They were blessed beyond measure. We're going back again this summer. Many of those who went last year are going this year, and some others as well. We believe we're going to have more than 19 go back to Haiti. We also went to West Virginia, a partnership we've had with the Bridge Church and Matoka, West Virginia, and 38 of our people went there. We'll go back this year. Church Without Walls, a church over on Augusta Road. We helped them out a little bit with a summer project they had going, but we also helped provide in other areas as well with donations of coats, of turkeys to feed the community and at Thanksgiving and many other ways as well. Our 3 mission goals this past year, I don't have the exact amount for each one that was given, but our goals for Annie Armstrong were $10,000. That's for United States missions, North American missions. Janie Chapman, which is South Carolina missions, was $6,000. And Lottie Moon was $22,000. Combined, that's a total of $36,000 that we asked you to give above and beyond your tithes. And we gave a total of $38,185. So I praise God for that as well. And for outreach, our major outreach functions, we had an Easter Fest, which we approximated about 500 attended. We reached a lot of the community with these festivals. And then the Harvest Festival in October, we reached between 400 and 500 as well. In Vacation Bible School, of course, in the summer, the attendance, we had enrolled 303. The average attendance was 303. We had 128 workers in Vacation Bible School. The children raised through their penny parade at the close of each night session, 2,364, which went to Many Hands for Haiti. And again, 20 salvations. And the Children's Ministry of Awana, we had enrolled 132 children this past year, and an average attendance of 100 every Sunday night, with 40 of our adult workers involved as well. The youth, of course, had their opportunities with Meltdown, with Big Stuff Camp, and several of our youth serving in Awana, learning ministry on Sunday nights. Senior adults, it wears me out just to think what all they did this past year with their trips. I believe, was it this year you went to Pennsylvania in the spring, and you went to the Ark Encounter in the fall? You had your fellowships and their mission project as well, which was Santa for Seniors, which you supported greatly and successfully. Our prayer ministry continues to meet every Tuesday morning, and they always have a booth at these festivals and things that we're having here at our church. And they had a Bible study as well, just to teach another aspect of prayer this past year. Stephen ministry. This is like a chaplain, so to speak, all right, for all of these ministers that have been trained. 50 weeks of training, 50 hours, I should say, of training that will go toward them being a Stephen minister. They provide, each one provides one-on-one care to the bereaved, to the ill, to the separated, to the divorced, to the unemployed, to those who have relocated, to all who are facing a crisis. It's a great, great treasure that we have here. Fitness ministry meets four times a week, and they do things like Zumba, strong Zumba, toning, core workout, core circuit, all these kind of things, okay? Women's ministry had three major events, including one retreat this past year. The men's ministry, it's strengthening, it's getting stronger. They supported and provided opportunities for us to be involved in helping to build a Habitat for Humanity house this past summer. The November event had a major men's Bible, major men's event, which led to the beginning of Bible studies, which they have already finished one. They're beginning the second one tonight at 5:30 in the conference room here. And just a great, great opportunity for our men to grow strong spiritually and to be the leaders in their families. We have an ongoing connections class now, and we're beginning another one in a couple of weeks. And this is for all new members who haven't been to a connection class yet. This is for those who are thinking about joining Five Forks or who are just curious. I mean, you may come from another denomination. You don't know much about Southern Baptist. You don't know much about our church. Opportunity to learn in this 3 weeks class. Then, of course, there's our greeters, you know, frontline ministry. These are the faces that people see when they come to visit, and they've done an excellent job. Security at Five Forks Baptist Church. Our security committee is one of the best, and we've also invested in a police officer presence on our campus every Sunday morning. During this past year, we had three events during Sunday school, which was church-wide. All were greatly attended, and these emphasized prayer, praying for our neighbors, being concerned for our neighbors, being concerned for our community and their spiritual life. And then witnessing, how to follow up with our prayers and when God offered opportunities to share Jesus Christ. And then how to study the Bible. Also, if you've been online to our website, you noticed this past year we have a new website. Very slick, very cutting edge, and I'm so proud of that and just enjoy reading that. And then we called Kevin Goldbach here recently in the last few months to serve as our worship pastor here at Five Forks Baptist Church. And already he's doing an excellent job, and I thank God that he brought him here. And I'm learning from him as well. And beginning next week, I'm going to start opening my sermons with 1, 2, 3, 4. You can teach me how to do that well this coming week, all right? For our long-range planning, I know you're probably wondering what's going on with that. A report should be coming real soon to you. The committee was going real strong about this building, but now the thinking is we probably need to look at the whole campus, you know, where God is leading us, what God wants us to be, say, in 5 years or 10 years, and what do we need to do? Do we need to pour a lot of money into this building and then build something else? Whatever. We're seeking God on that, and you need to pray for that as well. But that's part of the exciting future that God has planned for Five Forks Baptist Church. And speaking of that, how about the future? How about 2019? How about the years ahead of us? I'm going to give you a name, and you probably, a vast majority of you won't know who he is. Aubrey Malfers. How many of you heard of him? Aubrey Malfers. Jason has. I have. Been to a meeting with him. Got his books in my library. He's a guru of ministry. He's a guru of church growth, so to speak. This is what he wrote in one of his books. Ministry without vision is like a surgeon without a scalpel. Ministry without vision is like a cowboy who has lost his horse. Ministry without vision is like a carpenter who has broken his hammer. To attempt ministry without a clear, well-articulated vision is to invite stillbirth. Vision helps us to hear from God in a fresh way. Vision encourages us. It provides clarity and direction. It makes our time count that we spend here at Five Forks Baptist, and it creates momentum as well. And it's for these very reasons that we are right now in the process to ascertain what we believe is God's vision for our church. You and I, the bride of Christ at Five Forks Baptist, the body of believers known as Five Forks Baptist Church, we've been allowed to exist for over 44 years. I've had the privilege and the honor and the blessing of being your pastor for 11 and a half years. Each one of us has a place and a purpose of being here. God, listen, and I believe this, God has called and God has planned for each and one of us to be here at Five Forks Baptist. He has called and he has planned for you and I, two key words, work together. Corporately. Why? For the glory of the kingdom of God. For the distinct purpose, hear me, the distinct purpose for sharing the good news of his son, Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Okay, we're going to talk about this in a minute. For this end, God has designed for you and I to live. You and I, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're living in times that are strenuous, that are challenging, sometimes discouraging, much that is dark. But it's a time that's strengthening as well. Because when the light of Jesus and the light of the gospel and the light of the Church of Jesus Christ, for it to shine, there has to be darkness, right? And I believe as to this year and the years ahead, what God holds for Five Forks, for such realms as worship and fellowship, for service, discipleship, and above all, evangelism, are beyond measure. For these days to become times of strengthening, this is what we got to have. We got to have, one, confidence to assess our time and talents and treasures. You can bring that up. We got to have conviction to agree about the direction that you and I feel that God wants us to travel in. And then thirdly, courage to act in the present and for the future. Let me go over each one of these separately here, all right? First of all, the confidence to assess. What does assess mean? Assess means to determine the value and the significance or the extent of or to appraise. In December, I can count on this. Jane and I can count on this. And you can count on it too, more than likely. I, like many of you, have received in the mail the 2018 personal assessment list. You know what that is? That's your personal property tax for Greenville County. It is so nice to think that they want to keep in touch with me, isn't it? And you. And I can receive, and when I receive it, I can think these thoughts. You know, I've got this property tax here. I've got this assessment. I could ignore it. I could throw it away. I could give false information about it. Or I can make an honest assessment. I believe for you and I spiritually here at Five Forks Baptist Church to make an assessment of who we are and what we're doing and how we're doing it and where we're going, we need to assess ourselves honestly. Secondly, there needs to be a conviction to agree about the direction we must travel together. Two key words there. Agree together. What is that speaking of? Unity, right? Hand in hand. Going forward together. You know what the Lord Jesus prayed in part of his high priestly prayer with his disciples the night that he was going to be arrested, tried, and crucified, and die? Only 3 days later to rise again. That night when he was praying, you can read in John 14 through 17. long prayer, but great prayer. He prayed this. He's praying for me and you. Father, I pray they'll be one. I pray they'll be united just like you and I are one. God the Father and God the Son. Father, I pray they'll be one just like you and I are. We need to agree together about the direction we're going to travel. What can we agree about? What can we agree about? What we're to do, how we're to do it, where we're going, to share the ministry together. Those are kind of things. We need to share together more than anything else about this, what we're called to do. We're called to worship, we're called to teach, we're called to minister. But I believe with all my heart, we're called to represent and to share with others the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because this culture is going to continue getting darker if the church is not the church. And we need to be the church. Amen. With that, the third point is, it's going to take courage to act. It's going to take courage for the present and for the future as well. I want to share with you, I preached on this topic in December. Let me mention to you again about promises. This is the kind of God that we have. God has given somewhere around 5,000 promises, just promises, to you and me. That's the kind of God He is. 5,000 promises. That tells me God is a promise-making God. God is a covenant-keeping God. He made promises. You can read the Word. He made promises to every major leader in the Bible, such as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, David and Daniel, and the New Testament, Paul. God has made promises to you and I as well. We can base our church, the health of our church, on a variety of different factors from, well, you and I, we go to how friendly we are and how giving we are and how clever we are and how organized we are. But there are eight promises I want to give to you today. And these are going to seem a little strange to you, but if you listen to me describe each one, you'll get what I'm saying. I want to share eight promises with you that God gives us on how to build Five Forks Baptist Church and what to build upon. Let me give these to you. I'm going to give you a scripture with the first of each promise. The first promise, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord, for the eyes of God roam throughout the earth to show Himself strong to who? To those whose hearts are completely His. Let me ask you, have you ever noticed the difference that the gospel of Jesus Christ makes in people's lives? Have you seen the gospel make a difference in somebody's life? Exhibit A right here, okay? This is such a simple promise, but with what it's saying is God wants to use every one of us. He wants our hearts totally. I'm convinced God is continuously looking for people to use. Again, Exhibit A right here. The reason God has continued using Five Forks Baptist Church is because there are those here who keep volunteering to God to be used. Ministry gifts and talents, they're important, but they're not nearly as important as just being available to God. We need to be available. Secondly, second promise, Galatians 6:9. Paul is writing, we must not grow tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Have you ever just grown weary of trying to live like a Christian, of doing the Christian things? Sometimes it gets wearisome, doesn't it? But you know what? It's just like a marriage. It really is. To make it work, to make a marriage successful, you never, ever give up. That's what God has called us to do with Him and in His church. We never, ever give up. Third promise, Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen its edge, then one must exert more strength. However, the advantage of wisdom is that it brings success. There are times in my life when I had dreams and just knew I had a word or a vision from God. And then he told me, "Foster, you're not ready yet." There are times as well when I realize I've been given a vision or direction from God. And I realize I can't do this in my own strength, i.e., pastor a church. And I have to pray James 1. "Father, you promised that if we ask for wisdom, you would give it abundantly. I ask for your wisdom." There are times when God has called us to do this ministry, and we realize we need the wisdom, and he grants the wisdom, and he grants the skill, and he brings success. And when it's time, he'll do that. Job 8:7, fourth promise. "Then, even if your beginnings were modest, your final days will be full of prosperity. You began with little, you will end with much." Let me slip one word in there because it's a key word, the word faith. We have been blessed with much. We gave God a hand about the finances a moment ago, right? When we believe God, when we have faith in God, we may begin with little, but we will end with much. That's true in all areas of life. But what I'm speaking on today is winning people to Christ. Because Jesus said in this fifth promise in Matthew 16, 18, "And I say to you that you are Peter," because Peter just confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He says, "You're Peter, and on this rock, that confession you made about me, that I am the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, I'm going to build my church on that confession. And all the forces of hell will not overpower it." All that we have been blessed with, every bit of it, is God's grace. This promise is a good reminder that it's really not our responsibility to grow five forks in one sense, because it is the church of Jesus Christ. And if we allow him, he will grow it using us. Three more promises. Exodus 23:29. God said to the Israelites, "I will not drive them out ahead of you in a single year. Otherwise, the land will become desolate and wild animals will multiply against you." God told the Israelites, "You're not going to drive everybody out. You're not going to win this in one year. But I'm going to do it. But I'm going to do it in my time." It takes God 6 hours to grow a mushroom. It takes him 60 years to grow an oak tree. We need to be patient and allow God to work. Psalm 2, verse 8. "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, and the ends of the earth your possession." This verse says to me, and I want to share with you, only ask. Ask with a heart of faith. Ask with a hunger in our hearts. God, grow your church. God, win people to Jesus Christ. Use us in that, and God will give us the souls. You know the Great Commission. Go where? Into all the world and make disciples. That's the first possession. Last promise. 2 Samuel 12:23. This is going to sound strange to you, but hold on. David is praying over a little baby boy of his that just died. And he says this, "But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I'll go to him, but he'll never return to me." Now, this is a promise for those of us who have lost a loved one in death, okay? And they're in heaven. But you know what I see here for you and I today? Man, what a great encouragement. for you and I to believe in the bedrock of our faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ more deeply than I ever have. Not only to see my loved ones again, those who believed in Jesus, but to make sure that I'm available for God to use, that others will have the opportunity to have that same hope in Jesus that I have, that same faith. Now to close, I want to give you the words of Joshua 21, verse 45. This is what God told Joshua that he shared with the nation of Israel. None of the good promises the Lord had made to the house of Israel ever failed. Everything was fulfilled. I believe that too. I believe that for you and I today. God fulfills every promise He has made. Has He done that in your life? Come on, church. Has He been faithful to you? Yes. Amen. I can tell you, I've begun my 42nd year of ministry. I know I look young. But this is my 42nd year of ministry. And I can tell you this, with all certainty and without hesitation, God's promises are true. I asked you earlier to remember your past, to remember this past year, to remember what God has done. That was a time to remember. But you know what? This is what Moses spoke to the nation of Israel, and this is what I want to share with you today. This day is not only a time to remember, it's also a time to renew. It's a time just to look up to heaven and say, God, in the year 2019, I want to be used by You. I want to make myself more available to You than I ever have in all the years that You've given to me. All that I have, You've given to me. All that I have is Yours. And God, I want to give myself to You. I want to renew myself today. You may want to come down here and just pray that at the altar. You may want to come and share, and I'll pray with you. You may want to come and to join this good church, because I'll tell you this, God's hand is on Five Forks Baptist Church. It is. And God's presence is in this community, and He wants this community to know Him like you and I know Him. Will you do that? Let's not only remember, but let's renew, and let's pray together. Father, I thank You for today, and I thank You, God, for this past year, all the years You've given to us individually, as families, as a church at Five Forks Baptist. Thank You that You brought us here at this time. And Lord, I pray today we'll remember all that You've done and praise You for it. But this is the day too, just to renew. To renew our hearts and souls, our very being to You. Lord, use us now. I pray in great ways. Grant us wisdom. Grant us direction. Grant us unity. Grant us, God, what You would have us to do for Your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing, and if God is moving you to come forward, you come, and I'll be here.